Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Built. Here's a question. Are you getting rewarded for paying your rent or mortgage right now? Did you even know that that was an option? If the answer is no, you need to check out Built. Becoming a Built member means earning points on every housing payment, no matter where you live. Built points can be redeemed for flights, hotels, Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, future housing payments, and more. The point perks that really call to me are fitness classes and restaurants and Amazon.com. There are dozens of ways to redeem. Members get access to an AI neighborhood concierge right in the Built app. It doesn't just give local recommendations, it takes action. From paying rent and reserving dinner tables to booking fitness classes and ordering lifts, it handles tasks seamlessly while applying your member benefits across 50,000 plus partner merchants. First, you download the Built app. Second, you link any credit or debit card to the app so purchases at your local spots become even more rewarding. And third, you can ask the neighborhood concierge in the app pretty much anything. Download the Built app and join the membership for where you live at joinbuilt.com/loveit. That's joinbuilt.com/loveit. Use our link so they know we sent you.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It. I'm John Lovett. And we cut the original joke that went here because it bombed. And we've got a great show for you tonight, but first, let's get into it. What a week. Turning Point USA just announced a nationwide university tour, and I can't help but notice the name they've chosen for it, America, Love It or Leave It. So if anyone in here is confused and came to see Charlie Kirk, I have some bad news and then some much worse news. But welcome. Meta on Wednesday agreed to pay $17 billion and impose new safety rules as part of a settlement over claims that its social media platforms were addictive and harmful to children and teens. Now a little alert will pop up when your child gets an eating disorder. Meta also agreed to other restrictions, including a daily two-hour time limit and a default ban on access to the apps late at night. And if a teen wants to use Instagram to bully someone, they'll have to first complete a CAPTCHA to prove that they're actually cool. The settlement also requires Meta to block notifications during school hours because we want to make sure nothing disturbs kids in the classroom between active shooters. Remember earlier when I said Meta also that some of them might be dark? That was one of the dark jokes we were talking about. And then there's Flock, a tech company that has built a network of over 120,000 cameras conducting 20 billion vehicle scans a month across 49 states. If you do the math, that's every state but one. But is there a downside to this vast network of cameras and sensors in the hands of a private corporation? No. Yes. Traffic cameras have exposed the ways in which a subset of dangerous drivers pose a risk to the entire community. But Flock's cameras aren't limited to tracking plates. The company's AI technology could potentially identify individuals based on facial features, clothing, and wireless devices. Over 50 police officers have been accused or charged with misusing the technology, including accessing camera data to stalk their exes. And the craziest part, it worked. They got back together. She didn't realize how much he cared. Federal immigration officials have used state and city police networks as part of an enforcement operation in violation of state and local laws. One sheriff in Texas searched across 83,000 cameras for, quote, a female who had an abortion. Fortunately, the woman had taken the now obligatory precaution of stocking up on abortion wigs. You're right about that one. Flock CEO Garrett Langley went on Fox News this week to try and win over his critics, but did not exactly make a compelling case.
I value my privacy. My family values their privacy. My employees value their privacy. But what we're talking about is safety as well. And so I think when people talk about just one of these, privacy or safety, they're prioritizing the wrong thing. And what we have to prioritize as a country is compromise.
This is a classic argument, the idea that we must balance these two opposing needs, privacy and security. It's the same one we heard from the Bush administration after 9/11. But much like the official explanation for Tower 7's collapse, I'm not buying it. The Constitution's protections against violations of privacy, including unreasonable search, are not contingent on the government's justification for that violation because one crime does not recommend another. And even if you accept Flock's logic, Flock's cameras are not being installed in response to a massive crime wave. Crime is historically low, and Jeffrey Epstein is dead. Not saying any crime is good, but that a new technology might allow additional crimes to be solved at the expense of individual rights is not balancing safety and privacy. It's arguing that we collectively choose to give up our privacy on the promise of safety. And you don't have to take my word for it. Flock's actual statement of its mission on its website reads, and I quote, "Our mission is to eliminate crime, full stop." It's like, did no one learn the lessons of Minority Report? Even those freaky deaky tub people made mistakes. And sure enough, Flock has led to a number of wrongful arrests and even jail time as a result of false identifications. In Toledo, a man was held at gunpoint and attacked by police dogs after Flock confused the numbers 2 and 7. That is so stupid. Why would anyone's license plate be back 7 to the future? Fuck, it fucked it up. Pretend you didn't hear it for it. Fuck. That is so stupid. Why would anyone's license plate be back 7 the future? Fuck. Why would anyone's license plate be back 7 the future? Why would anyone's license plate be back 7 the future? Dozens of cities, including Los Angeles, have ended contracts with Flock. The most recent was Tempe, Arizona, where the mayor said in a statement Wednesday, "We have to be able to provide public safety in a way that maintains the trust of our community. For Tempe, that means taking these cameras down." Responded Flock CEO, "That's disappointing from the mayor. I expected more from someone with such a normal penis." Can we show a picture of the mayor of Tempe, Arizona? Personally, I wouldn't mess with a guy that looks like he could make your head explode by thinking about it real hard. This guy's got a cool head. Bernie Sanders posted, "Going to the doctor, Flock knows. Dropping your kids off at school, Flock is tracking you." Added Bernie, "Lied about going to the doctor while actually meeting up with your ex and yes, having sex, but even worse, exchanging the kind of warm, loving chit-chat and inside jokes you never share with your wife anymore, who you haven't felt close to since before the kids were born. Flock knows that too. And on some level, so does your wife." And Libertarian Senator Rand Paul responded to Langley's suggestion of compromise by tweeting, quote, "Our founding fathers are rolling in their graves at this suggestion." "No, they're not," replied Flock CEO Garrett Langley as he watched a live feed of James Madison's corpse. Of course, Flock isn't the only surveillance technology that's part of this wonderful panopticon we're building. Earlier this month, news leaked that Apple's next generation AirPods will be equipped with tiny cameras feeding data into Apple's AI. "Why am I pointed inside the ear? And why did you program me to feel disgust?" said Siri. We can even see the cameras in action in a clip reportedly included by accident in a developer version of a Mac software update.
With visual intelligence, your world becomes savable. See something you like? Just ask me to save it for later.
Ah, yes, it's for taking pictures of books. Big, beautiful, bouncing books on the subway. I can't wait for the next Apple launch event where they're announcing these bad boys. For years, we've heard one request again and again about the AirPods, that if you drop your AirPods, they don't fire out of the case and across the room like tiny fucking RPGs. Bad news, we didn't deal with that at all. But good news, if you forget your keys or what the inside of a public restroom looked like, Siri will be able to keep track of that for you. These new AirPods follow Meta's lead, which despite privacy concerns, claim to have sold over 7 million pairs of smart glasses. "Well, now I know what I'm getting my coworker for Christmas," said a man who's been secretly recording his female coworker since last Christmas. As critics pointed out, Meta's new pervert glasses allow the wearer to film other people without their knowledge. We often say that progress isn't linear, but that's not true for perverts. Perverts live in a world where things are constantly getting better. The pervert looks toward the future with heart and fly open. Earlier this year, an investigation by Swedish journalists found that contract workers for Meta, who were hired to help Meta's AI identify objects in videos, complained about having to review footage taken with Meta's Ray-Ban smart glasses that included people having sex and using the bathroom, said one weeping employee, and in some cases, both at the same time. Meta responded, actually, by ending that contract. Whether it's algorithmic feeds that lift up rage and paranoia, or the destruction of the business model of journalism, or a culture in which we are filming each other all the time, the people who profit from the technology are the most insulated from its harms. Meta denies wrongdoing in that big $17 billion settlement, but no one on earth is more careful about keeping their kids away from social media than the wealthiest parents in Silicon Valley. Flock executives aren't worried about being tracked by border control or jealous exes because they're American citizens and their relationships don't generate that level of passion. And Mark Zuckerberg isn't afraid of a customer filming him because he was having a bad day and was a little rude about remaking a latte. Mark's on his private compound in Hawaii, practicing a conversation he'll never have in the most expensive mirror you've ever seen. And we should be furious and demanding laws that protect privacy and allow us to control our data and its use. But the problem is about more than what we've allowed these companies to do to us, but what we've used their products to do to each other. I saw a video recently of a woman describing a bad experience she had at a restaurant in LA after a server chastised her when her kids were making noise, the kind of post you see all the time. And of course, she named and shamed the restaurant. And of course, in the comment, there was a lively debate. I'm so sorry that happened to you. I'm sorry, you can't control your kids. And so maybe the server was rude, or maybe that person is always rude, or maybe just before her shift, her mother texted the family group chat a picture of her younger brother's new baby and a passive-aggressive comment about how happy he is that he moved back to their hometown, unlike our little dreamer in Los Angeles. We are skeptical when a private company claims that cameras can eliminate all crime. We should be just as skeptical of a culture in which we use our cameras to address the minor indignities and frustrations that come with sharing a planet with other messy, self-involved, busy, emotional human beings. Don't be the flock you don't want to see in the world. Just do what I do. Fan out 10 $1 bills on the table and say to your waiter, "This is your tip. I'll take away $1 every time I don't feel like I'm the center of your universe." And finally, beloved actor Tim Curry, star of Clue, Home Alone 2, and the Rocky Horror Picture Show, passed away at the age of 80. "Whoops, wrong 80-year-old from Home Alone 2," said God. "My bad." According to his family, Tim Curry died peacefully after Mrs. Peacock bludgeoned him with a lead pipe in the billiard room. We've got a great show for you tonight, and we'll be right back with Adam Mockler.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Sundays. Is your dog a picky eater? It's surprisingly stressful. You wish they could just tell you the problem. Maybe if they could, your dog would be saying they know the difference between processed brown pellets and real food. Sundays starts with 80% plus all natural meats and then adds superfoods like kale, ginger, and blueberries. No fillers, no nutritional blends, no chemicals, just simple, complete nutrition. And Sundays just launched a brand new fish recipe. It's made with 80% whole and minced fish, including eco-friendly invasive carp sourced from American rivers for a naturally rich flavor. In fact, did you know that many dogs naturally prefer fish flavors? So Sunday's fish recipe is especially great for picky eaters. Plus, it's packed with omega-3 fatty acids that help support healthy skin, shiny coats, joints, and brain function. It's complete and balanced nutrition for all life stages. We love Sundays for dogs here. John's dog Leo really likes it. It's also the air-dried dog food is great because it's better than the kibble, but it's not the mess or the hassle of dealing with like frozen food that you have to be ready to defrost and all the rest. So it's just very convenient, but also better for your dogs. Make the switch to Sundays. Go right now to sundaysfordogs.com/loveit and get 50% off your first order. Or you can use code LOVEIT at checkout. That's 50% off your first order at sundaysfordogs.com/loveit. sundaysfordogs.com/loveit or use code LOVEIT at checkout. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Willie's Remedy. If you want to de-stress after a long day but don't love the idea of a hangover tomorrow, now you can have fun and relax without the regrets thanks to Willie's THC-infused social tonic. Willie's is an alcohol alternative that actually works, delivering an uplifting, euphoric buzz you can really feel with no negative side effects. Willie's is a premium THC-infused social tonic crafted by the legendary Willie Nelson, who is, as we all know, an expert in the cannabis space. Very few people could credibly call themselves a name you can trust in THC, but Willie, definitely one of them. And by the way, like, the man knows what he's doing because I love Willie's. I genuinely do. It is my favorite kind of THC thing. We had it at our wedding so that people could have a drink. We called it the Grin and Tonic that they could have at the end of the night. Like at the end of a long day sometimes, like, you know what? I want a little Willie's. And it just puts you in a good mood. I love it. Genuinely, sincerely. Always have a bottle of it in the house. With only 15 calories and just 3 grams of sugar, this tonic gives you all the fun and relaxation. None of the regret. It comes in 5 mg and 10 mg doses. I get the 5 mg because I'm a bit of a lightweight. It's a delicious blend of passion fruit, lemon, and lime. You can enjoy it as a shot, over ice, or mixed into your favorite mocktail. This is not the kind of edible that left you scarred and immobile in college. Every bottle is third-party lab tested for accurate dosage, so you can trust and customize your experience. One shot helps you relax and unwind. It's great for socializing, taking the edge off after work. Willie's is the number one THC-infused beverage in the U.S. with over 350,000 happy customers and 1 million-plus bottles sold. Order now at drinkwillies.com and use code LOLI, L-O-L-I, for 20% off your first order plus free shipping on orders over $95. Or use the store locator to find Willie's on shelves near you, like your local Total Wine, Specs, ABC, or local liquor store. That's drinkwillies.com, code LOLI. And we're back! We'll have Adam Mackler out in just a moment, but first, two of Vote Save America's Crooked Dozen have already left the race for Congress. The whole point of the Crooked Dozen is to go after the most beatable Republican incumbents and flip those seats. Andy Ogles in Tennessee lost his primary in a big upset, and Chuck Edwards in North Carolina has resigned after sexual harassment allegations. So now Vote Save America needs your help to decide who to add to their lineup. So for the probably first time ever, we're asking you to vote for a Republican in a social media poll. So go to Vote Save America on Instagram to learn more and decide which Republican you want to see added to the Crooked Dozen. There are 67 days until the midterm, so please sign up now and help us defeat these 12 at VoteSaveAmerica.com. If you haven't signed up yet for Vote Save America, it is a platform where we have a whole team that does all the work to figure out where your dollars go the best, go the furthest distance, where your time is the most needed. And so we're focusing on these races because if we can flip these 12 seats for Congress, it means we will have basically put ourselves in a position of winning the House. We also have a Senate fund where you can donate to the most winnable Senate races where we view the money will go the furthest. It's a combination of where we can win, but also the places that need the dollars. There's also another thing called the Anxiety Relief Fund, which is, again, our team does the research to figure out where there are organizations that are doing really good long-term work on the ground. And so you can, when you're getting a million texts and you don't know what to do, Vote Save America is a great resource to figure out how to volunteer and how to donate. This message has been paid for by Vote Save America. Learn more at VoteSaveAmerica.com. It is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. All right, please welcome to the stage, he's a Gen Z pundit, ripping conservatives a new A. It's Adam Mackler. Hey. How are you? Good to
see
you.
How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Are you not allowed to cuss? What's ripping them a new A?
Oh, we can say all the words.
Okay.
And
okay.
And often do. There's a couple we have said and then have been told to stop saying.
Like what?
There's a couple.
I can think of a few.
You can think of a few.
Yeah.
Think of a few and just know it's probably...
Oh, is it the word where it's like...
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I got it.
So, Donald Trump declared mission accomplished in Iran this week with a beautiful post. As you reflect on the ups and downs of the war, how proud are you of Trump for finally getting it done?
He's gotten it done like 30 times thus far. Mm-hmm. We're day 180 into this, 180 days into this war that was supposed to be 4 to 6 weeks long, and we've gotten zero of our objectives achieved. We were supposed to denuclearize them. That didn't happen. We were supposed to regime change them. That didn't happen. They said we were going to destroy their missiles. That didn't happen. Trump is still hiding in carts in Turkey because his life is in danger. And then finally, they said we would stop their ability to fund proxies in the region. That didn't work either. So the war is failing. It's absolutely awful, and it's costing us a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't care for the war either.
War is bad.
I think it was a huge mistake. Yesterday, the Wall Street Journal ran an op-ed that called J.D. Vance the GOP's Obama. It's obviously getting quite a response from the crowd. I'm trying to think of all the ways in which that's true. Are there any in particular that jump out to you that make the comparison so apt? It's hard to pick because it's so apt in so many ways in which they are alike.
Well, Obama has charisma. Mm-hmm. J.D. Vance has none.
He has none.
Zero riz, as my generation says. I think Obama is a liberal and he believes in liberal values. J.D. Vance seems to be the antithesis of that. Obama has nothing to do with Peter Thiel. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't see it. What's the comparison?
They both drew on their family background, which was, they both experienced sort of difficult parts of their childhood, and from that built an idea of what they believed they should be doing in public life. Obama's was about knitting a nation together based on a shared set of values that recognize that people of different faiths and politics can ultimately find common ground rooted in a shared set of ideas about what America is, and that to love America is to understand it is always changing, and our job is to figure out the best way to be part of that change. J.D. Vance, opposite.
yeah, I don't.
He experienced a lot of hardship when he was a kid, and then developed a theory of what caused all of that, wrote it down, then said, actually, no, forget that. We're going to do the Trump thing for a while and the tech thing. I mean, like, it's just, he just is a, I don't know. There's no real way to tell a story. Like, J.D. Vance does not have a coherent story he tells from what led from his youth to where he is now, in part because what he says now is completely different than what he would have said 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah. And I think that Obama doesn't have that type of massive change in ideology over a small period of time. So I don't know. I don't get the comparison.
Yeah. It's interesting about charisma because it's a hard thing to define, but we know it when we see it. I've always thought that there's a curve, which is basically there's a line, right? People have a certain amount of personality and they have a certain amount of charisma. And if you have more personality than charisma, you're boorish and deeply annoying.
That's fair.
If you have kind of less personality than charisma, you're cool and aloof and like kind of people want, it's like you have real charm and people kind of want to like kind of get to know you because you seem kind of cool, right? And then, but I don't really know what happens when you go into negative charisma, right? Like what, actually it's like mathematically undefined. It's sort of like the Riemann hypothesis. It's like, we don't know what happened. Like, it's like you have to like get to the other side of the chart and it leads to a lot of strange implications, you know?
He's like a black hole of charisma. And you know what I like about it, to keep your science analogies going? I like how hard he tries when he's on stage.
Yeah.
He'll go to Ohio. He'll go to his own home state and try to tell a joke. And the audience will just sit there and not laugh. Kind of like the first joke that you tried at the very, the very beginning.
And several others throughout the fucking monologue.
Yeah. But at least you picked it up. This guy is consistently bombing on stage with the same jokes over and over.
So, first of all, you started a YouTube channel when you were 9 years old. Is that right?
Yeah.
And it was devoted to Minecraft?
And Call of Duty,
Call of Duty. Was it a subtle, slow transition to politics where it slowly crept in, or was there one day where it was Minecraft and the next day it was politics?
You know, it was slow and subtle. It was over the course of a decade. I used to get home from school and make these Minecraft videos, and I got really solid at editing in the process. I remember in high school, I privated all of those videos because I wanted to get girls. I didn't want to be like the Minecraft guy. This is the guy that's always playing Minecraft.
Oh, yeah.
And then I graduated. And, you know, I realized there were Trump rallies happening two states over. I was in Indiana. There were caucuses happening in Iowa. So I started to travel to these Trump rallies and have respectful conversations with them, just talking to them about politics. And I realized there's a lot of mileage that can happen if you just have conversation with the other side and don't act overtly condescending. So that kind of built my style and built my flow to where I am. So to answer your question, gradual.
That's it. Well, it's we have two different sort of, yours is a kind of non-condescending disagreement. I go for condescending agreement.
Okay.
That's sort of my approach generally to this show. You also, though, are like, a lot of what people would see of you is not sort of whatever, conversations in which, you know, if you're on CNN, you're kind of in the rough and tumble. It's not about hearing from it's a fight. Like there was a famous moment where Scott Jennings got quite upset with you for get your finger out of my, didn't he say, what did he say? Out of my fucking face?
Get your finger out of my fucking face. That's what he said.
Right, and I watched the video.
Sorry, I had to get that out with my heart.
Your finger wasn't that close to his face, was it? He was quite mad at you.
You wanna know the real story?
Yeah.
It's that, you know what? Be careful who you pretend to be. Because he was pretending to be somebody who could keep up with this war, keep defending this war, and it turned out he cracked under the pressure. I was debating him week after week after week since the war began. You know, he was defending it 10 days in, the Iran war. He was defending it 30 days in. He was defending it 40, 50 days in. And, you know, Trump said there was going to be a 4 to 6 week timeline. So about 90 days in, we've been on a bunch of panels, and he just can't answer any questions about the war anymore. What concessions have we gotten? He doesn't know. Are we any closer to the nuclear material being removed? He doesn't know. So there's this dynamic on some of these panels where he kind of plays the rule. He plays the time of the segments. He'll sit there condescendingly. He'll smirk. He'll cut other people off. And then he'll lie and just hope that everyone moves on due to the time limitations of the segment. And I said, fuck that. If you're not going to play by the rules, I'm not either. I'm going to sit there and try to get a direct answer from you. So I asked him multiple times, name one concession we've gotten from this war. I'm like, maybe I was gesticulating a bit much, but he absolutely felt cornered. And he said, get your fucking hand out of my face. I thought he was going to strike me. I thought he was going to cry in that moment. And you know, in the commercial break right there, I tweeted out like, what did I say? I was like, I literally think he's about to cry sitting next to me. And it got like 2 million views. So maybe there's a little condescension right there.
Is that, yeah. No, I don't know if that's sort of just sort of bitchy.
A little bitchy. Yeah, well, okay, well, there's another one. Uh-huh. Brendan Carr responded to the clip as it was going viral and said, actually, you can say fuck on TV, so I don't care about this. The FCC chair. And I was like, well, can you show a pussy on TV? Because I think CNN just did that. And
that's good. Got him. Got him.
They still invited me back on.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, of course they invited you back on. Yeah. Hey, should we have the guy from that viral altercation that everyone's talking about? No. We don't want that. No more viewers here at CNN. We're all set on viewers. Too many viewers this week, we said. Let's not gild the lily. I want to talk about like sort of what it meant to be part of, Gen Z growing up on YouTube, and now kind of, and that is sort of the water you swim in. It's a lot of talk about the ways in which this generation is, in some cases, some parts of it are, further to the left. There's also a lot of disaffected people that have gone in the direction of sort of the Andrew Tates. First of all, does the fact that some of these manosphere figures are like kind of being exposed, does that do anything to kind of change kind of the role these sort of, I don't know what you'd call them, like these influencers who act like kind of gurus, the place they have, are people shaken loose from this?
I think they are, but due to a lot of factors beyond the fact that the Tate brothers have been arrested. If people don't know, the Tate brothers are sitting in a Florida prison right now, about to be extradited to the United Kingdom. Yeah, clap, thankfully, for human trafficking, sex trafficking, rape charges, child sexual abuse material charges, like disgusting stuff. In the court filings, their lawyer is now exposing them and saying that they were renting a lot of their vehicles, their Bugattis, their Aston Martins. I made a video about this and I confused Bugatti with Aston Martin and I got emails for days. Don't do that.
It's funny. It's sort of like if you're saying that you want gun control, but you accidentally mischaracterize a certain kind of weapon and then you'll be kind of vilified by gun people. But it's that for the people that care about the difference between a Bugatti and an Aston Martin.
I was like, I've never ridden in either. I don't know. But the point is, Andrew Tate is being exposed brutally by his own team because they're desperately trying to prevent extradition. Trump actually helped him get out of Romania, out of the investigation, and come back to the United States in February of 2025 because Paul Ingrassia, Barron Trump, and a lot of people around him were lobbying for this. There are many reports about this in the New York Times. So I do think a lot of the Tate's loyal fan base is beginning to shake. But when it comes to young men and anti-socialization, do you want me to jump in?
Do it.
I think it speaks to a broader problem of a few things combining. Right now, algorithms are uniquely radicalizing young people. You have Elon Musk, who owns X, and X is like Nazi Germany right now. Like Elon Musk himself will be tweeting fake crime statistics about Black Americans, about trans Americans, about immigrants. So he's radicalizing people en masse. We have foreign actors, think like Russia, Iran, China. They want to weaken social cohesion by radicalizing young people. You combine that with the anti-socialization of many young people, like they're not smoking, drinking, having sex as much. I am. I'm doing all this.
Yeah, no, you're,
it's fine.
You're total. You're cool. Everyone knows you're cool.
Everyone, okay, cool.
And I get it. I see it. I feel it. I know it.
Okay, thanks. I'm pretending to be. Be careful to be something you're not. Okay, so the reality is, COVID fucked with a lot of young people's brains. I was rather antisocial during COVID. I put a bubble up around myself and wasn't speaking to many people. And I had to intentionally tear that bubble down after and start dating again, start hanging out with friends. Many young people didn't do that. They got deeper into their bubble. They got deeper into these algorithms. They're online all of the time with a lack of socialization. And you could even point to Tyler Robinson, someone like that, the guy who killed Charlie Kirk. He was deep in these algorithms. He was deeply radicalized and antisocial. And it kind of is a bad combination. So I think there's this reductive analysis by Republicans where they're like, all young people are studying Karl Marx now. No, it's not really that. People just want change. People feel disillusioned with the current systems and they're looking for something different. And it shouldn't be Andrew Tate, because
And I do think too, like there is this effort in the wake of some kind of of mass violence or acts of sort of directed violence, whether it's a mass shooting or an assassination or assassination attempt, to there's this immediate effort to go comb through the record to figure out, well, what was their claim to the justification? Why did they do this? Why are they saying they did this? And everyone is looking and hoping that it doesn't kind of redound to a criticism of their side, that they're not on their team, right? But then that is such a, and I get the impulse, right? But really, people I think would be uncomfortable to link Tyler Robinson with Luigi Mangione. They would. There's a lot of people that would hear this, and people that I think would be view that as some unfair. But what links people that do mass shootings or targeted assassinations is a desire, is first of all being radicalized online most of the time now, and desiring to go out into in some kind of blaze of glory, right? And if you see it as that pathway, in the end, yes, of course it matters if the president is stoking violence. Of course it matters if, as a society, we are not rejecting a politics in which we can justify or defend cruel, violent behavior. And it matters who's doing it. But if you look beneath that, right, that pathway is the danger, right? It's what the tech and the platforms allow people to become.
And you even see it in less radical ways. It's not always just murder. Mike Collins has a staffer in Georgia who literally posted a swastika made out of the word twink, right? You guys were talking about that. And I mean, that is a very, very good example of a young dude, a young staffer who's radicalized. Paul Ingracia, who works for the Trump administration, has leaked texts where he says he has a Nazi streak in him. So there's all these examples beyond just Tyler Robinson and Luigi Mangione. There was somebody who shot up a Colorado school the same day Charlie Kirk was murdered, and he killed multiple people. He was a young dude who was radicalized on forums, on 4chan, and it's a very real problem. And we have insidious actors in power right now, people like Elon Musk, who worse than this. I do think Trump in a top-down way just makes everything more volatile. But there is something to be said about young people just feeling broadly disillusioned. And you know what the worst part is? Some of the bad faith actors who take advantage of that are like Andrew and Tristan Tate. They're like, you know what we can do? We can act like we have Bugattis. That's how they say it, Bugattis. Mm. We can act like we have those, and then we can trick young men into buying our course and then just sell hatred for women. So it's pretty insidious, right?
Yeah, it's not good. And look, I just want to say, as someone who has a Bugatti, it makes you happy. It's so fun. I love my Bugatti.
I'm going to put a flock camera outside it and just watch your
Bugatti. That's fine. I'm not doing anything wrong. Okay. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm flock and God can watch everything I do in my Bugatti, which I have. Inspired by your thoughtful consideration of the male loneliness epidemic, we want to close out our combo with, in a completely thoughtless lightning round, we're calling, is this man lonely? I will name a man. You tell me, gut reaction. Lonely? Here we go. First up, Pete Hegseth.
No, he's got a bottle of whiskey with him all the time. I feel like you can never be lonely with a bottle of whiskey, right?
He's got the captain, he's got Jack, he's got Jack
not
Daniels,
lonely.
Yeah.
Are you just going to put a photo of me on screen one of these times?
Oh yeah. That's Adam Mockler, lonely?
No.
Yeah, okay.
My girlfriend's back there. She's somewhere back there.
You're definitely pointing at a person for sure.
Yeah. She goes.
Yeah, you're not just pointing at a sort of a diffuse area of the studio. No. There's a real woman back there who is your girlfriend. I believe you. You're good.
She goes to a different school.
Yeah, she goes to not lonely. JD Vance.
Despite being surrounded by staffers and like-minded people all the time, there's got to be something pretty isolating to selling out your soul and becoming a skin suit for MAGA.
Yeah,
so lonely.
I think so too. You know that thing if you're at a loud restaurant or party or bar and you go into the bathroom and there's a buzzing quiet? I imagine that's around J.D. Vance a lot of the time.
Yeah,
that buzzing super quiet? Yeah, lonely.
There's this Mac Miller quote. He's like, I've got problems as big as my house. And it's basically talking about the more successful he got, the more lonely he got. That's a lot of these people right there.
God, I don't want to... I was feeling that in my Bugatti the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, is this what it's all for? Yeah, it's awesome. I love this Bugatti and how fast it goes and how low to the ground I am. I don't know.
You definitely know Bugattis.
Chuck Schumer.
Oh, man.
I think he's more lonely in politics than in life.
Yeah, that's actually where I was going with it.
Yeah,
he's kind of on an island right now. him and Jeffries are kind of just going through it. I think Jeffries has a self-inflicted sort of wound right now in the form of the Kushner meeting. Schumer, I think he would have been a great operator in like 2010 or maybe like 1810 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, somewhere,
but
yeah.
I think right now in 2026, he's not meeting the moment.
Yeah. So you sort of agree with the kind of, I don't know, online left, broad left view that it was wrong for Hakeem Jeffries to meet with Jared Kushner?
Listen, it's nuanced. I can understand meeting with the other side about affordability issues and trying to talk to the other side and sit down. Like, I can understand how this is something that happens in politics. However, Jeffries is already pissed off a lot of Democratic voters. He's already seen as weak by the base. Like, time and time again, he has been seen as too soft on this type of stuff. So while I do understand that meetings can happen with the other side, you can't just recklessly go out there and be like, yep, I met with Kushner. Is Kushner even a part of the, is even like an official part of the administration?
He is not an official part of
the
administration.
It feels a little bit odd. So I understand why someone could meet, but this just isn't, no.
Yeah, I think the problem is not that he met with Jared Kushner. It's that he is not the politician that has done that has become for people that are meant to be his supporters, someone who could meet with Kushner and they'd be like, cool, you give him a what for, you know, he hasn't done that part of it. That's the problem.
Mamdani met with Trump in the Oval Office, even off the record for a bit. And nobody really had a problem because we knew that Mamdani was assertive. He was likely on message. With Jeffries, he hasn't proven that we should be confident in his ability to do that.
Yeah. Let's do RFK Jr.
I think, no, he's not lonely. He's surrounded by an array of animals at any moment that he's going to open or put in the trunk of his car.
Absolutely. Yeah. Next up, Brian Johnson, the longevity guy.
Oh, you know what? No, I hope this guy is not lonely. Something about his relationship with his girlfriend is really funny. His wife, he's always tweeting about her. My girlfriend and I always quote this because there was this one tweet. He's like, it's been 5 days without her. She needs a shower to wash off the dirtied world around her. I miss her so much. And I swear I'm not making this up. He also is always talking about the vaginal microbiome of her. That's the guy, right?
Yeah. Okay. We're saying not lonely.
He's got all the bacteria to hang out with.
Yeah, he's got the right flora, the right fauna, all of it. Well, RFK Jr. has the right fauna, and this guy's got the right flora. All right. And finally, Ray from Girls.
Bro, who slipped this guy in here? I don't know.
Hallie really wanted us to talk about whether or not Ray from Girls is lonely.
No, he reminds me a little bit of myself in this photo. So I'd like to think no.
Okay, we're gonna say no. We're gonna say not lonely.
Wait,
good for Ray.
What's his character type?
I would say that he's definitely ornery. I would say needy, kind of obstinate. I think at times lonely. It sort of depends on the season. Depends on the season of HBO's Girls. Thank you, Adam Mogler. Check out the Adam Mogler debate show. We didn't even talk about all your debates on YouTube and at Adam Mochler on socials. And we'll be right back with Sona Movsesian. Movsesian. I'm obsessed.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Zazzle. Gift giving can be really tough. There's nothing worse than showing up with something generic that you're not even sure your giftee will like. That's where Zazzle comes in to save the day. Zazzle is a custom marketplace where you can take basically any product, a mug, a tote bag, a card, a phone case, and personalize it for yourself or someone you love. Browse millions of designs or create your own from scratch and customize the product to your taste. Either way, you're the designer. Everything is made to order, so you never have to worry about it being out of stock. Pick it. Customize it. Done. Over 30 million customers have trusted Zazzle with their most important gifts, and yours is next. With Zazzle, you can create a thoughtful, classy gift for any occasion, or you can create a really fun and silly gift that's more your style. That goofy pic of you and your best friend that you have saved in your camera roll, printed on a beach towel, or a pickleball paddle, or a jigsaw puzzle. That's fun. Puzzles are great. The possibilities are endless. Zazzle makes it so simple to create a truly unique gift. Right now, save 25% on your first order at Zazzle.com. That's 25% savings on your first order at Zazzle.com. Go make something z-amazing at Zazzle.com.
Hey, it's John. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics about how to fix this mess. We're doing it again, November 5th through the 7th in Washington, D.C. with even more podcast panels and workshops. Plus, there will be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get your tickets at CrookedCon.com, where we'll also announce the lineup. If you're a Friends of the Pod subscriber, a limited number of discounted tickets are still available. Get them before they run out. See you at CrookedCon.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
And we're back. My next guest was Conan O'Brien's assistant. Now she is his podcast co-host and his greatest nemesis. Please welcome to the stage, Sonam Avsesian. Hi, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
It's so fun. First, can I tell you that I had to learn a little trick to make sure that I struggle with name pronunciations just because I do it phonetically. And does it work to say like, Sona, I'm obsessed?
Oh, yeah.
Has anyone given that to you before?
I actually think that when you do the subtitles, it says obsession. Yeah.
Sona obsession.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So it's a good way to remember it. But I was actually saying back there when I heard you pronounce it, you did a really good job pronouncing
Hell yeah.
your name.
Hell yeah.
Well done.
Nice.
I could tell you live in LA now because it's an Armenian name.
Yeah.
And you have to learn how to pronounce those.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us.
There's a lot of Armenians here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good.
You know what?
Good. Some people say it's bad. I think it's good.
Oh, who says it's bad?
I don't know. You know people.
Oh, I know. You know what? Glendale has the highest insurance out of the entire country. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your first book, The World's Worst Assistant, came out in 2022. Your follow-up, The World's Worst Mom, hits bookstores on September 1st. It seems like you're not good at things you're doing. Would you say your strengths are more vibes-based?
I'm a big vibes person. I know my weaknesses and I know my strengths. And being an assistant, I'm not that good at, even though I did it for 12 years. And then being a mom, I feel like I'm failing every day. And I've done that for 5 years. So I like to stick to it, at least.
I feel like what we should think about is who would be beside you on the Mount Rushmore of personality hires.
You know, personality hires?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I
because,
think a
like,
lot.
If you were a bad assistant for 12 years,
yeah.
but you've sort of stuck it out, that's impressive. I mean, it's almost like more, it's certainly more impressive than being a good assistant because a good assistant's going to last, but a bad assistant, that's amazing.
Yeah, well, I think that what I'm good at is I'm definitely a ride or die. You know, like I'm not like, I mean, I'm glad this is a political podcast. I'm not like a Natalie Harp. Like I'm not about to write love notes to Conan.
Yeah.
But I think that I'm loyal. Like I, you know, I feel like I will defend him. I yell at a lot of people. You know, like on the phone if someone messes something up, I do that. I do that really well. And sometimes you have to do that a lot. And so that I have strengths.
What's your style of as when someone's fucking up or you need to yell on behalf of the boss? Like, what is your style for doing that?
Well, I start off really sweet. And if they can't help me, then I keep talking. And then it gets to a point where I'm not like yelling, but I'm assertive. And I think it makes a huge difference to be assertive as opposed to just screaming at people. So when I said yelling, I meant I'm just assertive. And I think I can tend to like, I can scare people if I need to. Like I have a mission and I just like go for it.
That's cool.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I can feel there's an intensity and a kind of a way in which you're not breaking eye contact.
Yeah. Is that weird?
No. It's powerful. You know, because you know who else was like that? Like last week was Jimmy Simpson. Remember Jimmy Simpson? And he wouldn't break eye contact with me, and it was cool.
One of the O'Boyles from.
Yeah. One of the O'Boyles
from It's Always Sunny.
Yeah. He locks in.
Oh, he does.
He locks in.
Is
yeah.
It, it's very. A boyle-esque.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of, you see why he sort of gets to play these sort of intense and kind of sometimes freaky dudes.
You saying I'm intense?
I think you're intense. I think you're intense.
You do?
I think there's an intensity.
Okay.
I'm getting it.
You are?
Yeah.
I didn't know that about myself, but I like that I'm intense. I think
well,
that's cool.
I think it makes sense because I think you to be able to hold your own with Conan requires yeah. being very intense because he, right? I mean, wouldn't that must be part of it.
I don't think, well, holding my own with Conan is more, am I laughing at the things he's saying? I feel like that's been my job security
yeah, but see,
for 17 years.
But in the same way that Conan plays down aspects of the way he's hyper intense, smart and focused while being goofy.
Right.
You're laughing at a lot of jokes, but you're holding your own and like not, he's not, you're still, he's not in charge in the conversation. You're both in charge of those interactions.
I mean, I guess so. I think so. You're right. First of all, I came into the game 16 years in for him. So he had this massive following. And it's really, I do think that there's a lot of things that play against me sometimes. I'm not a comedian. I don't do improv. So I'm just this person who worked for him that he puts in front of the camera sometimes and now puts me on a podcast. And that's, I think that that could sometimes be weird for some people, but I think that also takes the pressure off of me in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I don't have to try to be funny or interesting.
Well, but there's, but I think like what I'm just thinking, it's like, sure, but there's a lot of people who are, don't have to be funny or interesting, but who would be terrible. So,
sure. Okay.
But I'm saying, but like there's clearly like, you're coming into us, even when you start, even what you just described, like there are many people who might have a great laugh, right? Who would absolutely wilt and panic being a, just having that role with Conan, but you didn't. There's some kind of assuredness that you brought to it that made it feel special. That's not you as passive. That's like you doing something.
I think that not having anything to lose in a way is actually really liberating. Because if I don't, let's say he, so this podcast that we're on that, you know, it's Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. It's a big podcast. If all of a sudden everyone's like, we don't like Sona anymore, you should take her off. I'll just be like, okay, cool. I'm just going to hang out here then. You know, I'll watch in the green room from now on. Like I think that if it's very liberating when you get to a point where you're like, very fine with whatever happens. And I think that that's probably what I give off.
Wait, so your husband, Tak, grew up in Soviet Armenia while you grew up in Greater Los Angeles,
I
Armenia.
I did. I actually grew up in Montebello. I'm sorry, I know you said that off. Are you from East LA?
Yes, I went to Garfield.
So. Oh, you did? My dad graduated from Montebello High School. East LA, where they caught the Night Stalker.
Right.
Yeah, they beat the shit out of him.
Oh,
yeah.
They got him.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
They saw him and they're like, that's the guy. And they beat the shit out of him. LA thing to do.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, no, we're different. We're very
different.
Well,
the other thing that's very LA is to get killed by the Night Stalker.
Yeah, yeah, or just a serial killer.
Yeah, generally. It's like, what do we do in LA? Well, we get killed by the Night Stalker. We beat up the Night Stalker.
This is going to be so dark.
Yeah.
This is so dark.
I brought a weird energy today.
I know. And you're sitting like that, and I sat like this because this is how I like to sit.
Well,
because
you're
legs folded.
Okay, me too.
Yeah.
Wow, we have so much in common.
We do. I like it. Oh, but yeah, he grew up in Soviet Armenia.
Wow.
Yeah. I know, it's very different.
Does it affect your parenting styles?
So, a little bit. You know, my husband doesn't like staying in line for stuff, like food. And I think it's because he grew up in the Soviet Union. He says it's not. So I used to go to trendy restaurants before, and now like we'll go to Panera Bread, and he'll think that that's like, oh, we're going to a nice bakery. I'm like, all the nice bakeries have lines in front of them, but you won't let us go there. So we go to places like Panera Bread, and then, you know, he'll show the kids some like Soviet cartoons sometimes, and they're just like weird versions of what we grew up with. So there's Vinny Pooh, which is the Soviet Winnie the Pooh. And, you know, the one here is like a really like affable little bear. And the one there is like, he's voiced by a guy who just smoked a lot of cigarettes. And he's just like, he's speaking this weird Russian. And I'm like, we can't show this to our kids. Everything in the Soviet style is just slightly off. Like the Tom and Jerry isn't a cat and a mouse, it's a wolf and a bunny. And I'm like, this is weird. The Soviet version of all this stuff is just weird. And I think that's why Soviet people in general are just off a little.
Yeah, no, I think it's the combination of the weird cartoons and the sort of shadow of communism.
Oh, that could be it too. No, that's a good point. That could
be
it too.
Maybe it's just the cartoons or the...
That's a good point.
Deprivation.
That's a good point. He wasn't allowed to have a VCR. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm laughing. It's awful. Like people had to like sneak in a VCR to people's houses because they weren't allowed to have them. And I was like, you can't even have a VCR.
We had a VCR, but all the movies were just taped from television, which means we never had the first 30 seconds of any movie.
Oh no.
What did you learn from your years as Conan's assistant?
I learned in TV, you know, when you're talking about a personality hire, it does go a long way. When you're able to, like, be a good people person, it does go a long way. So there's a lot of things, you know, I got done just because people liked working with me. And then with Conan has this very intense work ethic. He's very, you know, like, for him, he doesn't want to put anything out there until it's exactly the way he wants it to be. And I am the absolute opposite in a way. I'm a very, like, this is good enough. This will be fine. And then we'll, like, fix it, maybe tinker it, but this is good enough. I didn't learn any of his work ethic. I don't even know why I brought that up. Like, I didn't, I got none of that rubbed off on me. But I think that I really learned, here's what I learned, and this is actually serious. You can be in a position where people respect you in your field and love you and you're a beloved figure, and you could still be a very decent person. And that's what Conan's showed me, is that, you know, anytime I hear someone mistreat their staff or is an awful person, I look at Conan, I'm very lucky, and I always joke that I'm going to be working for him until he dies. And, you know, which could be any minute, because he's like, you know, he's kind of fragile.
And he's tall, and like big dogs, you know, yeah, they don't last as long.
He can just tip over, yeah, and then he's done.
And he's Irish.
I mean, he lives in LA. I mean,
that's
a really rough combination. So I do think that it does have a lot to do with just being a decent person and treating your staff very, very nicely. And
what if you don't do that?
What if you don't do that?
Like, are there other ways you were, like, what if you're just like, what if it's like you lead with fear, you know, and setting people against each other?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like a Bill O'Reilly, like, fuck it, we'll do it live. Yeah. Like that kind of thing.
That's sort of my model.
I don't know. I don't know if that works. That's your model?
Well, let's talk about it. You've committed to a life sentence of having Conan O'Brien for a boss.
Yeah.
Which makes you the perfect judge for our next segment. Welcome to Boss Court.
Boss Court. Boss Court.
Here's how it works. The producers of the show have assembled evidence against me, but also evidence for my defense, because they're sick like that. I will read each exhibit. Sona, you're going to tell us, based on the evidence, if I'm a good or a bad boss.
Ooh, I like this. And this is like my dream of being a judge on one of those judge shows without having to do all the work to get there.
I kindly invited us to take nice, unused furniture from his basement, but never confirmed an actual time and date for pickup, and by the time we cycled back to claim the furniture, it had been eaten by rats.
Is that true?
So I'll tell you something, what happened, which is...
Oh, my God.
So what happened was, I'll tell you what happened. I live in a home that used to belong to an actor, and she gets these PR boxes, okay? PR boxes were just thrown over the door into the yard, and I would just collect these PR boxes. And when I first moved to the house, I would text, it's Vanessa Hudgens, I would text, I've talked about it. I would text Vanessa Hudgens' assistant and be like, can you please come pick up, there's another round of boxes. I mean, endless, athleisure and books and new kinds of sunscreens.
Ooh.
All these PR companies are just sending big famous people all the stuff.
Yeah.
It's a window I never knew. That
the richer you are, the more free stuff. Yeah.
But eventually it's like, it's been over a year and like, we just, at some point, it's like the assistant stops coming, the stuff piles up. When my sister and mom would come to town, they would call it going to the mall and then go look at some of this free shit and be like, ooh, look, there's like a cool bathing suit, whatever. But unbeknownst to me, one of the boxes was there was just a box in the basement, and it had protein powder for some upstart protein company. Oh. And a couple of rats got in the basement, ate the protein powder, became super strong rats. And it was a concentrated box with so many calories that within a few weeks, like unbeknownst, you just rats. And they just ate the chairs.
Oh my God.
And then you know what we did? We killed all those fucking rats.
So... at that point, you were like, hey, staffers, come get...
No. Long before...
When did you find out?
Long before. It was sort of like, oh, we got to find a time. You got to come grab... Because my partner moved in and there was a bunch of... I just had extra stuff.
Yeah.
And so they were going to come by and check out the furniture, but we never really set a time, mostly on me, but partially on them. And then the rats got it.
But how long between you sending that, like, hey, come pick up the furniture...
Months.
Months. You're a shitty boss.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's on you. Bad boss. Yeah. Oh, your whole staff is clapping. That says a lot about you, Ellen. No, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh shit. She's never coming back on her podcast. She never was anyway. Isn't she in? She's in the Cotswolds. No.
Yeah, I think the Cotswolds.
Okay.
I think the Cotswolds for sure.
Yeah.
I got 5 32-ounce Diet Cokes from McDonald's, but it was just because they were having a deal, and by the time we got them, they were mostly flat. According to producer Bill, this is what producer Bill said. He made me join him on an elevator ride to retrieve a large delivery order with like 5 sodas, and then for the entire ride explained his complex scheme for why it's more advantageous to order the 5 large sodas because it's a better deal. Also, the number of people in the room just outnumbered the Diet Cokes, which was like a sick mind game.
Why'd you get it from McDonald's?
Because they're the best Diet Cokes.
No, the fountain ones are the best.
That's what it was. It was fountain Diet Coke from McDonald's.
Okay. You had pictures of the bottles.
Well,
on
that's
here, so.
that was just an image.
That's
no, it was fountain Diet Cokes.
Okay.
And because it was there was a discount once you got past 4, so I got 5.
You are such a magnet for those kinds of scams, it sounds like.
Oh,
people
yeah.
People are like, oh, you get 2 for the price of 1, they're each $64. Well, no, that's not what I'm trying to say. Hold on. No, 1 is $64. If you pay $5 more, you get the second one that's like a little bigger, and you're like, yeah, I'll do that, and you end up buying things you don't really need.
Yeah.
That took so long for me to say.
No, but I do. But yeah. I do get the things you don't need.
Yeah, but so you went to McDonald's to get 4, you got 5, and you were like, I'm going to be nice and give this out to people. You had Bill come and take it from you.
Well, because I couldn't hold 5.
Okay.
Because it's hard. Once you get to 5.
You know
5,
what? I'm just going
to
say you're a bad boss.
Yeah. Fair enough.
You're just awful. Nothing's worse than flat Diet Coke from McDonald's. Because you're right. The McDonald's Diet Cokes are the best.
But it was flat by the time we got it.
So did you call that McDonald's?
Can you call McDonald's?
Yeah, you can. Or I would have driven back and I would have been like.
See, that's cool.
This
that's
is what
cool.
I do. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. No, I would have gotten a refund for, what is that, like?
It was like, well, you know, it was like, I can't remember, it was like $17 once I got to the 5th.
Yeah, I would have gotten a discount. Refund for $17. It's not even about the money, it's the principle of the thing.
Let's do one more. Pulled us aside one day to explain that he was dating one of our colleagues.
No!
While defensively explaining how they went to HR and signed some sort of document about it, but did invite us to roast him at their eventual wedding, and we really went for the comedic jugular.
Oh wow! You dated someone who worked here?
Uh huh.
A subordinate?
Well, everyone's a subordinate. It's my company.
That's true.
Yeah, it was.
But you signed this document.
I was so worried about the ethics of it.
Yeah.
That I was like, I was so careful about making sure that the person who I love and is now married to me.
Oh, I was felt comfortable. Say,
yeah, we're married. We got married. Yeah, they're the love of my life.
Oh,
I sort of
that's
had this,
sweet.
I realized at some point that they were the love of my life, and we would have to figure out how to do this.
Oh, that's sweet.
And so it was a little bit complicated, but we did sign the paperwork.
But
it was called a love
did
contract.
Did invite us to roast him at their. It was what?
It's called a love contract.
It is or actually exists.
Yes, because you have to say you won't keep dating if you don't love each other. Because you have to say to the company, hey, if you're not interested in each other, you can't stay together just because you happen to work together. So you have to agree that if you're not in love, you're undit.
Oh,
isn't that an interesting document?
That's very weird, though.
Yeah.
Like, what if you're not there yet?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, and you guys were there.
We were there.
Well, that's really sweet. No, I like. You know what? I like love. I'm like a 14-year-old girl when I get to like. Rom-com stuff, and this feels very rom-com. So I think you're a great boss here. Yeah, I know. I knew I said I was gonna be bad boss the whole time, but you got me.
Thank you, Sana. Pre-order The World Tours Mom now, or check it out in stores on September 1st. We'll be right back with the Rant Wheel.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Simply Safe. Here's the thing. But other home security systems, they're all designed for after the window breaks, after someone's inside, after you get the notification, after the police come. SimpliSafe is the first system designed for before, stopping a break-in before it even begins. Unlike traditional security systems that only alert you after a break-in is underway, SimpliSafe is designed to help stop intruders before they get inside. Smart AI-powered outdoor cameras detect suspicious activity at the perimeter and alert live US-based agents to step in. SimpliSafe's agents assess the threat, intervene through the outdoor camera to scare off trespassers and call 911 dispatch. Our CEO is simply safe in her home. All the components were installed and up and running in no time. It's worked smoothly since day one. And not only does she love the peace of mind that her home is protected, she's also enjoying the convenience of being able to see who's dropping by or unlocking doors for visitors if she's not at home. Simply Safe has been protecting your world for 20 years. Celebrate their anniversary and save 60% on your new Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/love it. That's 60% off at simplysafe.com/love it. Plus, when you order, write in our show name in the How Did You Hear About Us survey to let them know we sent you. Don't forget, there's no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey, it's John. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics about how to fix this mess. We're doing it again, November 5th through the 7th in Washington, D.C. with even more podcast panels and workshops. Plus, there will be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get your tickets at CrookedCon.com, where we'll also announce the lineup. If you're a Friends of the Pod subscriber, a limited number of discounted tickets are still available. Get them before they run out. See you at CrookedCon.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
And we're back. Let's welcome Adam back to the stage. Adam Mockler returns. Sit here with us. Welcome back. There's nothing like a short spin after a long week because it's time for the rant wheel.
Oh no.
Here's how it works. We spin the wheel. Wherever it lands, that person rants. Why do we have a wheel to land on the three people on stage when all three of us are going to get to rant? We don't know.
But we all get to rant.
Yeah, okay. It's we've never cracked it. Okay. Let's spin the wheel.
No, no.
It has landed on Adam. What would you like to rant about for 60 seconds?
Now? Okay. I'm really, really sick of men who refuse to change and then complain that women don't actually like them. Women have been forced to change for men for all of human history, and now young men are confused and mad that they have to go outside, put in effort, take a shower, put down the controller, stop watching Andrew Tate, and actually put in some effort to go get a girl. I mean, my girlfriend has changed me for the better. I now have more than 3 shirts to choose from. I was like a cartoon character, the same few shirts. These pants she chose... I have ambient lighting in my place. I used to just have hospital lights. Like, everything was incredibly bright. I'm on my phone less. It's overall a net positive. And I think that a lot of men can change themselves for the better, can be changed and helped in a relationship. And I think that, put down the Andrew Tate, go put on deodorant, go outside, go better yourself, and go try to find someone you love.
Oh, that's nice.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Wait, 4 seconds, 3 seconds. And also, grow up.
Grow up, yeah, no, for sure. I like that. Yeah, I think it's funny the effort thing, because it's like, I feel like there's a way in which, especially when you're young, you're like, ugh, I don't want to pretend to be someone I'm not, because then they'll eventually see who the real me is. So I'm not going to put on a big effort to try to make myself look or act or like kind of put on a show when that's not who I am. And it's like, no, you misunderstand. The effort you put in going into a date is not about the person you're pretending to be at the end of that effort. The effort itself is proving you're the kind of person who makes an effort. Mm-hmm. And people should want to be with someone who makes an effort. And if you're not willing to make an effort, that is revealing. That is the person that people don't want to date. Not the person that you're showing up as the real you. It's the person that didn't make the effort. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was another good rant. That was perfect. You know, like, I think there's a self-fulfilling prophecy where people think that I'm not even going to try. I'm not worth it. I think that women won't like me. And then because of that, it weakens their confidence interval and stops them from actually trying. So try.
Yeah. And it's okay to get rejected. I think that people... Did you say yeah? Did you say... Who said yeah? Oh, okay. Somebody really agreed with me on that, who clearly gets rejected.
I've been rejected a lot.
No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
He's like, I'm never speaking again.
I know, poor guy. I think that there's a very risk-averse kind of quality that's coming out for a lot of people, and they're very terrified of rejection. And I, you know... before I met my husband, I got to a point where I just started hitting on anything and everything that I wanted to hit on, and I got rejected, and sometimes I didn't, and I would leave my number for waiters sometimes if I thought they were cute. So you'll be fine. You'll survive rejection. I do think that that's something that is important for young men, especially to know.
I just want to finish this off by saying rejection is like removed from our society with young men, because if I want to go apply for a job, I do it online via LinkedIn. If I want to find a date, I would like go on Hinge before. If I want to get food, I don't even have to go out in public. I can just DoorDash it. So we've removed a lot of that social friction and that rejection.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Let's spin it again.
God.
Sona, what would you like to rant about?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't fully know what I was going to rant about. And then when Adam started talking, I was like, yeah, you know what? Men don't go out and like get to know women a lot. And so on that point, I would like to talk about perimenopause. And here's why. We learn about when it starts, when our whole female puberty starts. Nobody tells us what happens to us when it's ending. And I wish someone had told me what happens when it's ending. And as a woman in her 40s, I'm deep in it. I'm angry that no one talked about it before. I feel like you two can just chime in at any minute if you want to, you know, roll with me on this. But it is definitely something that really lacks from female education. It just shows how little people talk about what's actually happening with women's bodies in general, which is really frustrating. And I think that I would really love if older generations had warned me about it, and nobody ever did. And now I'm deep in it, and I'm a little resentful towards my mom, especially.
What would you like to...
Rise up, perimenopause, let's do it.
What do you wish you were warned about?
What happens? You learn about menopause, right? You learn about what happens when it ends, but no one tells you about this period of time, which is the buildup to it, which is when your body is like going fucking crazy. Like things are happening. You know, everything's changing, you're itching a lot, like your body is just weird, things are happening, and you don't know why it's happening. And then you talk to your friends, and someone did the research, and then you start really going down the deep dive of this hole that is perimenopause. And I think it's endemic of a lot of other things about how there's very little research when it comes to what happens to women's bodies in general, how the information is not there for a lot of people, and things happen to us and we have no idea why it's happening to us. It takes forever for us to get diagnosed with certain things sometimes. So yeah, I'm pissed. I'm ranting.
It's really weird. I have a family member who a month ago was talking about the same thing. She's in her 40s going through the same exact thing and said there's not enough research. She has to resort to like Reddit threads and personal experiences, because a lot of stuff surrounding pregnancy, and like you said, changes in women's bodies, is very, very under-researched, and it's a big, big problem right now.
Yep.
Disagree. Amen. Disagree. I think we've looked at it enough. We got a lot of good information, and we got to focus on more important things affecting men. There's a lot of things going on in male bodies that we don't fully understand.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like what?
Oh, tons of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's spin it again. It has landed on me. So Erewhon, this very fancy grocery store in Los Angeles, just opened up another location. They're getting closer and closer to the magic number, which is 20. Because at 20, I think they're at 17 or maybe 18, depending on how you count. At 20, Erewhon will have to start posting calories. And I think that is going to be awesome. Because that is going to be, when people find out what is going on inside of these fucking smoothies, these $16 healthy smoothies, and they discover that they've been basically having a fucking Dairy Queen blizzard for years, it is gonna be so thrilling. The streets will run fucking red. Yeah, but like my God, you think some of the shit that, the shit that's gonna go down in this city at that fucking Valley Erewhon, it's gonna look like a rack. It's gonna be crazy, the battles that are gonna be fought on the street.
Yeah. You know what that reminds me of is that scene in Mean Girls when Regina George finds out that she's been eating protein bars that are just designed to make her fat. Yeah. And she loses her mind and then just releases the burn book. That's like on a citywide scale. And you know what? They're never going to get there. Or if they do, they're going to change the name.
Yes. So this is the thing. So like the reason that there's Hillstone and Houston, so that they're separate.
That's what I was thinking of. Yes. I was like, I know Houston's did that.
Well, so they did it and they changed. We were talking about this, that like they had to not just change the name. I assume their lawyers also made them adjust the menu so that the Hillstone menu and the Houston's menu is defensibly different.
Yeah.
So they don't have to put the calories on, because if people found out what was going on with those fucking burgers again,
we'd still go.
Of course. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Spinach dip. Yeah. How many calories? I don't care. I never care. More calories, please.
Yeah.
More calories for my money. Wow, what a deal.
You
There's so many calories. Yeah. Hey, I'm sorry. Can I get some calories on the side to dip? All right, we'll be right back. And we're back. Sometimes it's best to double down. Other times you got to double back. Either way, it's time for second thoughts. Adam and Sona, I've had a dynamite time with both of you tonight. But my producers have given us a list of moments from this evening's show that they think went bad and that I should regret. If you have any moments of regret from tonight, please think about them. You're free to share them.
Yeah.
Let's see. From the monologue, I very quickly brought up children with eating disorders and mass shootings. But what the audience doesn't know is that there was also a joke about suicide that we cut. And I brought the energy down, and I had to fight basically for the next hour to get you back, and that's on us. That's on us. And we talked about it beforehand, and we should think about that as a lesson going forward. Yep, I did not have enough goodwill built up for the active shooter joke. you guys hated the abortion wigs joke, and then I riffed on it, which you also hated.
You doubled down on
that.
Of
course
I did.
Triple down.
I was like, wait, does that mean one person has wigs? Like, she has multiple wigs because she has multiple abortions? She's just abortioning all over the place?
What's interesting is you thought one wig per abortion. I thought multiple wigs for one abortion because she's moving through different jurisdictions. But that's the beauty of a joke like that. It's art. It's up to you to interpret it how you feel it. You thought it was a woman having one wig for abortion. Why do you need a new wig for your next abortion?
Is this back seven the future?
Back seven the future.
My
flubbed back seven the future. The one joke that didn't make everyone mad at me.
And then once people got it, you beat it to death.
Yeah, beat it to absolute fucking death.
And it would have been so good if you didn't flub it.
I leaned into that riff pretty hard about having a Bugatti.
But I liked it.
Yeah. Adam, have you ever seen the show Girls?
No.
Yep. Okay.
You got to know the audience. I think
that was a mistake there. I said to Sona immediately, hey, there are a lot of Armenians. There are a lot of Armenians in LA. Then took the world's longest pause and said, which is good.
I remember that.
What was that about?
And there were so many things running through my mind, like, oh no, does he hate us? Why is he pausing?
I'm glad you clarified you think it's good, because I didn't know
was it clear? I compared Conan O'Brien to a big dog who doesn't live very long.
I like this segment a lot.
And that's our show. Thank you so much to Adam Mockler and Sona Bobadessian. And there are 67 days until the midterms. We'll be back next week with Lauren Lapkus, Brian Posehn, and Trinity the Tuck. Have a great weekend. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Kiefer, Sarah Lazarus, Raman Borsellino, Peter Miller, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hey, it's John. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics about how to fix this mess. We're doing it again November 5th through the 7th in Washington, D.C. with even more podcast panels and workshops. Plus, there will be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get your tickets at CrookedCon.com, where we'll also announce the lineup. If you're a Friends of the Pod subscriber, a limited number of discounted tickets are still available. Get them before they run out. See you at CrookedCon.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons, from tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond. Every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.